know the vibes. We are back. Welcome to a new season here at the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K26. I am your host, Mo Mootsy. If you've been a regular listener, you already know the vibes. If you're new here, I love to talk basketball. And to do that with me is a legend of the game, a man who's been around the game longer than I've been alive. He's forgotten more about basketball than I could ever learn. And that is Coach Brendan Sir. Coach, how are you doing today?
Great, Mo. I am so excited to be doing this with you this year. We got a taste during the playoffs. I love it. I've been a guest on your show when you and BJ were doing it. And it's one of the best things in basketball, and I'm honored to be with you.
That really means a lot. And I do want to thank our sponsors at NBA 2K26 for rocking with us for another year. If you guys don't yet have NBA 2K26, if you're wondering why there was no podcast for the last few months, it's because I was playing NBA 2K26. I've been living out my NBA career that I never got to live out in real life via the video game. Yep, Coach Sir, I can dunk, I can shoot from half, I can do it all. Please don't ask me to do it in real life, though.
There might be a role for me in coaching NBA 2K. I like that. I might never lose a game again. I love that. I might have.
Well, Coach Sir is here, and he is going to be with us twice a week. I know you guys have got used to the Hoop Genius podcast being part of your daily routine. This season, we're switching up the format. We're going to be bringing you a recap show every Monday that tells you everything you missed from the previous week, everything to look for in the upcoming week, and everything you need to know from the world of the NBA. And then on Thursdays, boy, oh boy, do we have a treat for you. We have some amazing special guests lined up to bring you insightful conversations, interviews, and little bits from behind the scenes that you wouldn't get anywhere else. Because, you know, this show is the home of real basketball talk. We're not here for the clickbait drama, the rage bait, and all of that. We're here just to spread our love of the game and share that with you guys who, if you're listening to this, you love the game as well. So Mondays and Thursdays, make sure you lock in with us, because we're going to be doing this all season long. Coach, without further ado, are you ready to get straight into it?
I am. I can't wait. I've been prepping for the last week, my brother.
Oh, okay. Because we're starting this off by doing a draft. We're doing one of these mock drafts that you often hear on podcasts, but we're drafting teams that we feel made the best moves of the summer. Now, Coach Sir, as you're the new resident guest, I'll do you the honor of going first. Who's the first team on your list that you think has made the best moves of the offseason?
Well, you know, there's so I really give the league in general so many compliments because the people that, having been in that position for 47 years, you know, from starting as an assistant coach to running teams, when your team is not I've been a champion where you're trying to maintain, and also when you're down towards the bottom, and it's a league that has so much parity in it, I really appreciate what the teams did this year that were close, that made a move, and the ones that were kind of stuck. And so I'm going to take as my first team a surprise, the Los Angeles Clippers.
Oh, because they were close. They looked dangerous in the playoffs this year. But, you know, the moves they've made, they brought in a whole bunch of new guys. Who's the first one that grabs your attention?
Well, you know, the thing with the Clips that they seem to always get matched up with a bad team in the playoffs. Year before, I think they had Dallas, you know, Luka was hot and everything. Dallas went to the front.
Yeah, a team that's bad for them.
Yeah, bad for them, and I say matchup. And this year, you know, Denver. You know, and Denver loaded. And so I think, you know, that's a thing. But here's what they did. They re-signed James Harden, who was an all-NBA player at his age. It's just a magnificent feat. James is still one of the best lead guards in the league. He can score on anyone. He can get downhill still at his age. And, you know, everyone makes a big deal out of that. You know, he always struggles in the playoffs. Fine. But, you know, it's not a 1-on-5 game. It's a 5-on-5.
I mean, and the other there were some times in Houston where he was playing 1-on-5.
Oh, no. No. And that's where he got his bad rep for the playoffs. But I thought he did a great job last year. And so I think that, you know, what he did deserved to be re-signed. And they did a great job during the season re-signing Kawhi. And they got both of those guys for really reasonable contracts from what they had been making. They got a really important player, one of my favorite role players in the league, my French brother Nicolas Batum from France. I just think he's one of the most versatile players in the league. He can guard one through four, and he's such a team player. Whether he's playing for France and the Olympics or he's playing for the Clips, he's just a fantastic role player.
And he's automatic with that no dip catch and shoot three. You know, when he gets the ball with a split second on the shot clock, he doesn't even need to bring the ball down. He can just let it fly. That is a new feature they introduced in NBA 2K26 this year. By holding down L2, you can do a no dip catch and shoot three. But I digress. He is
Yes.
experienced and he is a reliable player, especially in high pressure situations. We've seen in the playoffs numerous times, he stepped up to the plate when his name has been called upon.
I think you're going to see they in the buyout market they were able to sign to an incredibly low contract, Bradley Beal, a 50 plus million dollar player. Would Phoenix, he and his agent got them to buy his contract out, similar to Dame Lillard type of thing, and they get him for like $5 million. And this guy on a 1 year contract. So I think you're going to see Bradley Beal have a fantastic year because I think James Harden will make him a terrific player. Because in Phoenix, he had no point guard to play with. And Bradley's an off the ball player. I think they also made a trade with Utah to get John Collins, who's always, Brad, John Collins has always had the word potential next to him. Okay. And that means you haven't done it. Okay. And so hopefully the lights will come on. Playing with really good players will help him.
I think he's been in tough situations as well. You know, in
Yeah.
Atlanta, he had Trae Young, but it wasn't the best designed teams to maximize his skill set. And then over in Utah, obviously, they're not contending. So now
No.
he's in a situation where, you know, even watching some of their practices, you can see the passion that he's bringing because he's finally got the chance to compete for an NBA title. They came close with the Eastern Conference Finals appearance in Atlanta, but now he's in the big time and he's got to go for it.
And Mo, let me say this for the people, our fans, and you know, they th all NBA teams are created equal. No, they're not. We have the same salary cap, but all environments are not the same. The Los Angeles Clippers have a unique and excellent environment. They have one of the premier arenas, premier practice facilities, a sensational owner, one of the richest owners in all of professional sports. They are treated those players first class, and being in a great city like Los Angeles would be like being in London or Paris, just fabulous cities.
As a resident of London, I gotta say Los Angeles is way better.
I'm just being nice. We have I
I'm
know where our
just
show is
looking at my
going.
window, it's gray skies. I'm wishing there was
Yeah.
palm trees
No,
and the girls from South Beach there. You know what I'm saying?
Los Angeles is not like that. Yes. And so I think this is going to be good. They got Brook Lopez, the starting center in the league, to be a backup center. That's phenomenal.
And he's backing up Ivica Zubac, who last year had a
Who I
breakout
love.
year. And
Yeah.
is one of my favorite bigs in the NBA. When you rank like the centers in the NBA, Zubac is solidly in that top five conversation now.
Oh, without a doubt. And so now they have two big physical guys in center to go against who? Jokic, guys like that.
48
So,
minutes.
and Sagan and the guys of that caliber. So I think that was a, and then very suddenly Chris Paul came home.
Yeah,
And
crazy.
I, and you know, in his 20th year, whatever, 40-year-old player, he played so many games last year. I think he played all 82, if I'm not mistaken, which is insane. Which is absolutely insane that this guy at his age can
Yep,
do that.
82
And
games
yeah, think
at
about
40
that.
years old now. I
Think about
mean,
and so now you have a guy that can go on the floor. They can even move Harden to off guard at times. Chris Paul is the epitome of what we call a point guard. He really can run the team as opposed to guys that have the ball and shoot every time. He's a facilitator. And that's why I think it's a terrific move for them to get him at a, again, at a minimum salary.
And
It really well done.
they have one of the deepest rosters in the league now, right? Because you've got Harden, Beal, Kawhi, John Collins, and Zubac, who are starting five. You've got Chris Paul, Chris Dunn, Derrick Jones Jr., Nicolas Batum, Brook Lopez coming off your bench. And that's not to mention you've got Bogdan Bogdanovic as well, who's coming back from an injury.
Who I
So,
love. Yeah.
you know, another lights out shooter. They are fantastic. I wanted to get your take on what I've been hearing from Bradley Beal and the people around him. In every interview, there's a big focus on defense. He says he wants to get back to being an elite defensive stopper. Are you buying into that? Obviously, he's in a later stage of his career than he was when he was in his prime in
Yeah.
Washington, and he's not really played that level of defense in a number of years, if at all.
They have the best defensive coach in the NBA, Jeff Van Gundy, as their lead assistant. So they have made a significant jump last year. JVG is just an elite teacher, and he knows how to teach team defense. Bradley Beal will never be a great individual defender, but the concept is team defense, like you have in football over there, whatever. It's always being a team defender, and that's what Jeff is really great at teaching. I think that's what you're going to see.
And it's necessary for the Clippers to load up because the Western Conference is absolutely stacked this year. And that's why, with my first pick, I'm taking none other than the Houston Rockets, who made a huge splash this summer by trading for one of the best players in the NBA. Even at the age of 37, he's still a 93 overall in NBA 2K26, and that is Kevin Durant. And adding a player of Kevin Durant's caliber, a scorer who can get his bucket against anyone in the NBA. There's no one out there who can say that they can shut down Kevin Durant. They had a great, promising run last year. They suffered a tough loss in the playoffs, and you watch those games thinking there were times where the possession slowed down and they couldn't get their shots. If they just had a guy who could go out there and get a bucket, because Jalen Green did not show up for the playoffs last year aside from one game. If they just had a guy that could go and create his own shot, they would be right there with the contenders. And they didn't just go out and get a guy who can create his own shot. They got one of the greatest scorers in the history of the entire league in Kevin Durant. In addition to that, they also got Dorian Finney-Smith, who's an elite 3-and-D player. They added Clint Capela for some more front court depth. They also got Josh Okogie, another defensive presence. And they re-signed Steven Adams, Aaron Holiday, Jeff Green, Jabari Smith Jr., Tate, and Van Fleet, who's now injured, which is a huge knock, and we'll talk about that in a sec. But talking about depth with the Clippers, the Houston Rockets, especially in the front court, have insane levels of depth. Coach, what are you seeing from the Rockets?
Yeah, they have one of the most underrated general managers in basketball, Raphael Stone. And what Raf did is he said, I want to go for length in his front court. And so he has put together literally almost 3 7-footers that can play at the same time for them. Durant is 7 foot. I don't care what they say. Okay, Jabari Smith, and they can play either Steven Adams or Sengun. They can put those guys on a front line defensively. And they switch everything, which, as basketball defensive jargon goes, means if there's a pick and roll, that means as the ball handler is dribbling off the screen, they are going to switch and no one will be free. But they have people with such length and wingspan, it makes it difficult to shoot over them.
Not to mention, Amen Thompson has a 7 foot wingspan and he's playing the guard position for them. So they've
I've
got
known.
four guys out there who've got a 7 foot wingspan. They could just stand arms stretched out across the court and cover the entire thing. I did mention, though, Fred VanVleet's injury, which will take him out for the season. And you never want to see a player get injured. It's horrible, especially when you're on a team that's going to make such a run for a championship, right? But I want to look at the silver linings here because Amen Thompson, who I just mentioned, one of the best defenders in the NBA already, one of the best athletes in the NBA. He played the point guard spot before he got to the league. And I said this last season when Fred VanVleet picked up an injury during the season. I said it on this show. I said, run Amen Thompson at the point because he's capable of doing it. Let him get those reps and get that experience. Because even if you do get Fred VanVleet back, or you do get, another point guard in the future, having those on-ball reps really helps a young player improve their decision-making process. I remember when the San Antonio Spurs were playing Jeremy Sochan at the point guard for a stretch of games, and everyone was wondering, why are they doing that? He's not a point guard. Well, it was to help him see the floor in a different way, help him understand where his teammates are going to be, and really increase his IQ of the game. But they also have a high lottery pick from last year in Reed Sheppard, who didn't get many minutes last year. And during the summer league and during the pre-draft process, he was looked at as one of the best guards in that draft class, which was, a decent draft class. And I think him getting some reps this year, because defenses are going to be so focused on not just Kevin Durant, but also Alperen Şengün, who was an all-star, Reed Sheppard can get some run this year. And this experience he can gain can be huge for the future of the franchise moving forwards.
Reed Sheppard is maybe one of the five best shooters in the league, flat out.
That's a big
Great shooter,
statement.
great shooter. He's small, And but they have incredible size behind him. And so he's one of those guys, that he'll benefit by having greatness around him. Let me talk to you about Amen Thompson. So for 2 years, while he was at what they call OTE, which is Overtime Elite in Atlanta, I was a consultant to Kevin Ollie, who ran the program. And he and his brother Osir, who's with the Pistons, I worked with those two specifically for 2 years. And I used to call up BJ and say, this kid's going to be a superstar in the NBA. But you never saw him, so no one knew. And he played point at OTE, as you mentioned. And he's legit size. He can handle it. He's fast as can be. Ime Udoka is one of my best friends in coaching. He played for me with the Knicks. He's tremendous. He's one of the best guys in the league as far as coaching. They have a great staff. They're figuring it out. They will figure it out. And better to happen preseason than to happen during the season. So I'm confident that they'll get it right.
Absolutely. And those Thompson twins, I love their story. They have been so dedicated about becoming NBA players. I don't think people understand this. When they were kids, they wrote 6'9" all over their bedroom because they wished that they could grow to 6 foot. They've not quite re reached there yet. Maybe they'll have a growth spurt, but they also signed a contract with each other to run 2 miles a day, 200 push-ups, 200 sit-ups, 500 pull-ups, so on and so forth. Ball handling drills, make a certain amount of layups, make a certain amount of mic and drill shots. And for these kids to be that locked in, not just on the basketball side, part of their contract was also to read for 30 minutes a day, listen to motivational talk for 30 minutes a day. For them to have that dedication from when they were 9 years old, that level of obsession, and having your twin brother to compete against, especially when you see him on the other side of the court, but it's just mind-blowing just how talented and how driven these kids are.
They were raised in Oakland, California, and they have a great mom and dad, obviously, as you can tell. And then they moved to Florida, and then they came to OTE in Atlanta. They're some of the most unique kids I've ever worked with. And when you, as a coach, when you get a chance to touch those kind of people, as a coach, your philosophy is to take pe just to guide people and take them where they can't take themselves. These kids just le needed a nudge. They didn't need a push. And they're special. And believe it or not, as great as they are as players, they're better people. That's what I love about both of them.
Absolutely. But coach, who's the second team in your draft of the best off-season moves this summer?
Ooh. Well, I went with Denver.
Solid.
And Denver, David Adelman got the job with a whopping 3 games to go in the regular season.
Yeah, that was an
Survive.
insane circumstance.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that, I don't care what Michael Malone, it was, to put it, I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but I think our good friends internationally will appreciate it. It was a ballsy move, so to speak, okay, by the owner. Who also owns a football team in the Premier League. And
Yeah, we ain't fans of Arsenal over here, don't worry. I know a lot of our listeners are, and they're gonna be mad at me, but I ain't no Arsenal fan.
I'm not saying anything, but anyway, they did that, which I don't recommend you do, especially with a team that had won the championship 2 years prior. They were not a complete team. They didn't spend money on certain spots. They shortcutted it, and they played OKC better than any team in the playoffs, I thought.
Absolutely.
And they if they had players that weren't hurt, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, they were both hurt, and Aaron Gordon could barely even lift his arm in the seventh game. They could have beat OKC because they were big and physical, and Jokic, there are not answers for. Jokic, NBA 2K. I don't know what your ratings are yet, but he's the best player in the world. I don't give a shit what your ratings are. He is the best player in the world. And so they have, they what they did to improve their team is they brought Bruce Brown back, who they never should have let go of. Tim Hardaway Jr., who's a knockout shooter. Cam Johnson's one of the best shooters in the league. They traded Michael Porter Jr. for Cam Johnson, which is a home run, in my opinion.
Cam Johnson's just an A3 overall on 2K, but he is one of the best 3-point shooters in the league and an elite defender. You just got to think back to when he made his run to the NBA Finals with the Phoenix Suns. He did play elite defense in that playoff run. I'm not saying he does it for 82 games a year, but when it comes to those high pressure moments, he's capable of getting it done on a defensive end.
That was a really good team, the Phoenix team. But Cam Johnson is one of those guys that when he has really good players around him, like if you remember back then, he had Chris Paul around him and stuff, and he gets open shots, he doesn't miss them. He does
Absolutely.
not miss them. So
And
I thought it's a really good
this is
pickup.
the other thing, when I talked earlier about Amen Thompson playing minutes at the point guard position, for a player like Cam Johnson to go to Brooklyn and be the star player of the team or the number one option, that
Sure.
has massively helped his ability to make plays for his teammates, which he was never tasked to do in Phoenix beforehand. So now, when a shooter is closing out to him and he hits them on a pump fake and a drive, his ability to find open teammates when the defense collapses on him now is vastly improved. And all of these IQ things that we talk about, I think getting those reps in Brooklyn as the number one option rather than just being a catch and shoot role player or a backdoor cutter for his entire career, that's definitely helped him, especially when you play high IQ basketball with the likes of a Nikola Jokic. And it's going to really help that Denver offense because he's a little bit more willing to pass the basketball than Michael Porter Jr. was. And he is an upgrade on the defensive end compared to Michael J Porter Jr., like I said before. So I'm super excited for that Cam Johnson signing. And Bruce Brown's an interesting one because they lost him after they won a championship. But it looks to me almost like, all right, Bruce, you go get paid. And when we can get you back here, we'll get you back here because he's really done nothing for the past 2 years. I know he's had some injuries, but he's not really been doing much. And he made his way back to
I
Denver.
think they're bringing him back more sentimentally. Frankly, they screwed up, and he has not done anything since he's been hurt and stuff like that. But hopefully, it works for them. Hopefully, it w does. I think the one that's really going to help them is the trade they did with Sacramento, where they traded Saric for Jonas Valanciunas. I think that is a major move because now all of a sudden you have two physical guys who are very good friends that now can have great respect for one another, and now that they can go and play against any big man in the league and hold their own
Yeah, we just talked about the Clippers
together.
having 48 minutes of Zubac and Lopez. Now you've got Jokic and Valanciunas, and
I think it's a really big deal nowadays.
especially because Jonas was considering going back to the EuroLeague. He was talking about signing, I
But
think it was for
yeah, but
Panathinaikos.
he couldn't because he's under contract. See,
Yeah, he was trying to
FIBA
find a
doesn't
way out,
allow
but he's
that.
staying. But what's interesting to me is I've heard some whispers from around Denver that they have plans to play Jokic and Valanciunas together for stretches
No,
on the
that's
court,
what I would do.
which a lot of
Yeah.
people are confused by, but they don't understand in international basketball, in the EuroLeague, you often play two bigs, like 2 7-foot bigs at the same time on the court. And that's something that a lot of NBA defenses aren't going to be prepared for.
And both guys can shoot the ball from the outside, and they can also post up inside. So that's the way basketball was originally played, with two bigs inside, and then small ball came in and all that. But I think, in this five out offense, which would be in football a different term that I have no idea of, but I think these guys will now, I think we're going to see more than half the teams in the NBA are going to play two bigs together at times, not the whole game. And I think it's going to make a huge difference the way in style of play. But I love what they've done. They made their team better.
Absolutely. The West is going to be an absolute bloodbath. We talked about three teams from the West so far. So with the fourth pick in this draft, I want us to take a look at the Orlando Magic. You can play the theme song. They're coming over to London in January, so we're going to get an up close and personal look at them. But they are a team in the East who have two promising young pieces in Franz Wagner and Paolo Banchero. Both have all-star potential, all-NBA potential, but they really struggled to generate the offense necessary, especially in the playoffs, especially when it comes to three-point shooting. So what they did over the offseason, they went and traded for Desmond Bane, who is one of the best shooters in the entire NBA. His ratings on NBA 2K26 reflect that. He can shoot the three ball, he can even shoot the mid-range. And now they have someone who can stretch the floor, force defenses to stay home, because as soon as Paolo sees a smaller defender on him, he's putting his head down and going to the hoop. Franz is a very crafty finisher as well and a great passer. So adding Desmond Bane, a better three-point option than what they previously had on their roster, I think that's a huge move, especially in the Eastern Conference that's wide open this season. And before they kind of had a mismatch of, lots of guys competing to be the point guard. Now Jalen Suggs's role is solidified as the point guard of this team moving forward, and Jalen Suggs himself is an elite defender. But Cole Anthony and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who were also kind of one guards, sometimes playing the two, it was a little bit confusing at times, I guess. But I'm super high on Orlando going into this season. They also signed Tyus Jones for that backup point guard position, and he's one of the most reliable backup point guards in the NBA. I know he tried to get some run in Phoenix as a starting point guard, but I think coming off the bench as a sixth man is his ideal role. And you know, he always leads the league in the assist to turnover ratio, which means he takes care of the basketball. He doesn't turn it over a lot, and he finds his teammates for easy looks.
One of the keys for the Magic is going to be Jalen Suggs staying healthy. He has really had a hard time doing that. And if he can stay healthy, that really helps him because he is an elite defender. Their problem has been they can't shoot the ball. Desmond Bane will change that significantly. And Desmond Bane, for those of our friends that are listeners, is one of the elite human beings in the league. Just an incredible person, great teammate. I think, though, that the Jones signing, even though it's a minimum salary almost type of player, it's significant because in the case of injury, it gives them a legitimate starting guard. So I really like what they've done. Jamal Mosley has done a terrific job in coaching that team. But I think this is a team where the Magic now expect them not just to be a playoff team,
They got to make a run.
To get to the second round or beyond is what in a wide open East this year, I think is almost the expectation now.
I mean, my Celtics aren't there this year, so the East is
No,
anyone's going to
just
take it.
because of injury and
And
the way they did their
I
finances.
like them bringing back Mo Wagner as well. You know, keep Franz happy. You know, future star of your franchise, you're going to bring his father back.
Exactly.
And the thing is, as well, it's not just the signing to keep Franz happy. Mo Wagner is one of the toughest players in the NBA. You need to have those enforcer type players on your roster. And he provides solid minutes. They've also got Gogo Bitsadeh at the backup big. Jonathan Isaac, talking about Jalen Suggs' health. If Jonathan Isaac can stay healthy, he's one of the best defenders in the entire NBA.
Yeah, I mean they've done a really good job from being one of the worst teams in the league to slowly building it up through the draft with Wagner and Banchero to really and Banchero was one of the great picks in the last 10 years because everyone had him going third and he went first. So that was and he was the right one. The other two have not
Jabari
become.
Smith in Houston and Chet Holmgren in OKC.
They're not like him. Banchero is at an elite class above them, my opinion. You know,
Absolutely.
so I think that you know the eyeballs are on them this year.
Coach, who's your fifth team in this draft of best
I
moves of the offseason?
really struggled with this because my two teams for different reasons. The New Orleans Pelicans with Joe Dumars coming in there, but also a team that had the worst health that I've seen in the NBA, injury health, I mean. And so if they can get, for instance, Zion, you know, guys like Herb Jones, different players back healthy, even Alvarado, no one on their team at one point, the last game of the season, the last game of the year, they didn't have one player dressed that was an NBA player.
I thought I was going to
You
get
know what I
called to go
mean?
and play some minutes for them because they
Yeah.
were just bringing guys in from all over the place.
Yeah, they didn't have one NBA player on their roster the last game, lost a home game by 30 something points at home. You know, and that's really disgraceful. I love Jeremiah Fears, the kid from Oklahoma who has a chance to be an absolute star. Derek Queen has a chance when he gets healthy, the broken wrist to
Jordan Poole as
really
well.
no, I'm not a fan.
Are you not a fan?
No, not at all. Not at all. Derek Queen, I think has a chance. I think Sadiq Bey will really be a good player
Yeah,
here.
do you know who I think is going to have a big year? I think Trey Murphy, especially if Zion
Trey
stays
Murphy was
healthy,
a guy.
because
Yeah, Zion and Trey Murphy.
Zion
Trey
commands
Murphy.
so much attention, right? If Zion can stay healthy, and by the way, Zion looks like he's in the best shape of his life. I
Yeah.
don't know what Joe said to him when he got to New Orleans, but we had never seen Zion act like this before.
I think that's why I say Trey Murphy, you know, got hurt last year, like literally first game. And we're not even talking about Javante Murray, who will probably miss the whole year, I think, with an Achilles, you know. He's not been healthy since they got him. But if this team can stay healthy, they really improve, you know, significantly. So, but the team that I just thought that they were a team that really had a chance. And the other team that I had looked at, to believe it or not, I thought the Knicks. I thought the
Knicks.
Knicks. A lot of people, a team that goes to the Eastern Conference Finals and loses Game 7. Getting Mike Brown in there, I think, will be a breath of fresh air. I think, but here's the two subtle moves, because they're a team that's so far over the cap. Jordan Clarkson, to get him for a minimum salary from Utah on a buyout. This guy has been a tremendous six man, a guy that can come off the bench and get buckets for him. They haven't had that, a guy coming off the bench. And one of my favorite players is a EuroLeague player, my kid Yabusele.
The prancing bear.
I just love this guy. And to get him for a meager amount of money to come over from Philly, I think he's a subtle pickup because
Brogdon
we
as
talk.
well.
I'm sorry.
Brogdon as well. Another
Yeah.
under the radar pickup that they got. They've got some serious depth.
I mean, they got guys that they got at minimum contracts. The front office did a great job of getting guys that wanted to be in New York. And again, when you're winning in New York, there's nothing better. And the league is better when we do win in New York, to be honest with you. If you win on New York, Boston, or LA, that's great for the league. And so I think they're going to maintain, and even maybe they have a chance to get to the finals with the squad if
Yeah,
they stay
we'll get
healthy.
into our predictions on next Monday's episode. But you gave two teams there, the Pelicans and the Knicks. So I'll give you two teams to round out this draft of the best moves of the
Okay.
summer. The first one that I want to talk about real quick is the San Antonio Spurs.
You, wow.
Because Victor Wembanyama, first of all, has gone from 7 foot 3 to 7 foot 5 as his listed height. So who knows? He might even be taller than that. He's a 94 overall. He's what, 21 years old, on NBA 2K26. But the players that they've added, drafting Dylan Harper and Carter Bryant. Dylan Harper is a fantastic pick. We saw his debut in a preseason against the Jazz just the other day. Him and Wemby have already got an instant connection. He was throwing him alley-oops. He was getting it done on defense too. And Carter Bryant is an elite defender. He's a really hungry defender who gives it all on the defensive end. But some of the signings that I really like, and I know you're a big fan of this player coach, is Luke Kornet. And they also signed Kelly Olynyk, because signing these two guys who could play the five allows Wemby to play the four in some double big lineups. And from what I've seen so far of the Kornet and Wemby lineups, because Olynyk is still injured, but you can run a pick and roll now with your power forward in your center, and no one knows how to guard that. And Luke Kornet is great at setting screens, first of all, but he's also great at making plays out of short roll. He's great at finishing lobs. Wembanyama playing like a guard with his ball handling skills, it's really an unstoppable combo. But the big problem for the Spurs last season was their defense fell off a cliff when Wembanyama wasn't on the court.
Right.
And people might look at Luke Kornet and think that he's not a great defender. However, when you actually look at the game, and even if you look at the numbers, he's one of the league's elite rim protectors. They now, like we talked about the Houston Rockets, we talked about the Los Angeles Clippers. The Spurs now have 48 minutes of elite rim protection. They even signed Bismack Biyombo for a little bit extra toughness to go with this roster. But I really like the moves they made. They also extended De'Aaron Fox, and we'll see how that pans out. And it's going to be a while before he gets healthy, Stephon Castle gets healthy. But I'm super excited for the Spurs. They're definitely going to be aiming to challenge for a playoff spot this season. I don't know if they go further than the first round, but I'm high on the Spurs and what they're doing this early into Wemby's career.
They got terrific, when healthy, they got terrific perimeter players. They're really good guards now. And I think if you're going to have a championship caliber team, you have to have great guard play. So they have that with Castle, Harper, and Fox. They have really good wing players now. And now Kornet gives them someone who, playing with Boston, can either destroy you as a player or just give you such amazing confidence, and it has given him confidence. He's also not just someone that's just come in the league. He's had to earn his way over the years to, and I'll tell you what, he is just a really good, he's a star in his role. And that's, and 98% of all players in the NBA, I don't care what the 2K ratings are role players. And you want to find players that are stars in their role. And he is one of them, and a guy that can come in and then just to, they the problem is they had no inside play last year. Now they have centers, and I think that's really important for them.
Absolutely. The other team I wanted to mention is in the Eastern Conference, the Atlanta Hawks, because we talk about a wide open East, and the Hawks have looked at it and thought maybe we can do something this year. They've brought in Nickeil Alexander-Walker, who's a very, very solid piece over from the Timberwolves. They've brought in Kristaps Porzingis, who I don't know what the illness was that he had for the Celtics last season that stopped him playing, but
Yeah,
it
it was
magically
crazy.
disappeared over the summer. He played during the summertime, he looked great, and I think he's going to have a big season for Atlanta. And they've also brought in Luke Kennard, who's a reliable shooter. But what I love about this team now is you're obviously building around Trae Young, who is an extreme offensive talent. Defensively, he's not quite there. But you've got Dyson Daniels right next to him, leader in steals in the NBA, an elite perimeter defender. You've got Zachary Risacher, whose development I think went under the radar last year
Very good.
because Castle won the Rookie of the Year. But Zachary Risacher, even though he might have not lived up to the billing of a number one pick, he came a long way during the course of the season and is
Yeah.
turning out to be a very productive player. They'll also get Jalen Johnson back from injury, and then Kristaps Porzingis at the five. I like what the Atlanta Hawks are doing. They've got guys that can guard the perimeter. They've got rim protection. They've got guys that can get to the hoop. And I watched a bit of their preseason game last night. Now they've got, better playmakers around Trae Young. He had the chance to get off the ball and move without the ball a little bit, as we've previously seen the offense of the Hawks be kind of Trae Young trying to make a play on every possession. Now he's able to give the ball up, relocate, come off a screen, get the ball back. And I'm excited to see what the Hawks can do this year. They might be a dark horse in that Eastern Conference.
They have a great, great coach too. Quinn Snyder's an elite coach, and he just hasn't had the pieces around him. I think that also, I think the Walker addition, Alexander Walker addition, defensively will really help them. Dyson Daniels keeps getting better. He is an absolutely a first team defense all defensive player. But I think Jalen Johnson returning from injury, he's the missing piece. Because he catapulted, I think, into a star last year when he was healthy.
Yeah, before
So
the season, I picked him for most improved, and I thought he'd have a breakout year. And, he can create from that power forward position. He plays a nice two-man game with Trae Young, and he's a good secondary playmaker. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So I think you picked some great teams, Mo, and I'm excited because I think there's some teams that are going to really improve this year. And we'll get to that, I know, next week. But I think it was I think in general, a lot of teams had a really good offseason.
Absolutely. And there's one more team that I should mention, because sometimes you don't have to add players to improve. You can improve just by keeping your team and letting your guys develop. And that's the OKC Thunder, who didn't make any notable additions, but they did give extensions to Shai, Chet, Jalen Williams, and Jalen Williams. As they are the reigning champions, they've now got another year of experience under their belt. They've had the summer to kind of celebrate a little bit, but also be motivated to come back and do it again. And we saw a number of NBA champions. The Celtics have just emptied their championship roster. The Denver Nuggets, they lost a bunch of pieces when they won a championship. The Milwaukee Bucks before them, they lost a bunch of pieces. The Warriors before them, they lost a bunch of pieces. So for the OKC Thunder to keep everything intact has been fantastic. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the cover star of NBA 2K26. So, Coach, we're going to skip ahead to one of my favorite segments of the year, because we used to do this with BJ and he was terrible at this game. So, we're going to see if you fare any better. It's time for you to guess the rating. So, as you're probably aware, I know you're not a huge video game player, but NBA 2K26, they rate players. The best player, as you said earlier, you don't care what they've rated, but they have rated Jokic as the highest rated player in the NBA at 98 overall. It's out of 100. Jokic is 98. Shai is tied with him at 98. But I'm going to give you some names and I want you to guess their rating. All right. I
Okay.
previously mentioned in the episode that someone like a Cam Johnson is at 83, Kevin Durant is a 93. So I'm going to give you some names and you've got to, that's the scale you're using.
I'm right no matter what the ratings are, by the way. Okay.
We're gonna have to add Coach to the ratings committee for next year. But let's start off nice and easy, right? If Shai and Jokic are the highest rated at 98, where would you place Giannis?
97 plus.
Perfect. You're on the money. How about Jason Tatum, if healthy?
If healthy, he's a 96, 97, or 98. He's that
See,
good.
I would agree with that. However, he has gone down to a 94 this year. What about Anthony Edwards, though?
Anthony Edwards is a unique guy. You know, they might get all excited about his talent and stuff like that, but you got to rate consistency, and that's what those other guys have. So I'm going to give him a 95.
95, you're on the money right there. How about Stephen Curry late into his career?
Steph Curry is still a 95, 96.
Steph's a 94. What about LeBron?
It, LeBron is just a phenomenon. When you make all pro at 40 years of age, he's got to be at 94 to 95.
He is indeed a 94. Do you know what's really funny, Coach? I want to know, did you fall for the LeBron pump fake last week when he did the second decision and made it seem like he may be announcing his retirement? Because one Mr. BJ Armstrong called me saying, "Oh my God, Mo, LeBron's about to retire." I said, "No, he's not. This is going to be a commercial." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I guarantee you he's doing this as an advert for some sort of company." And it turns out it was an advert for an alcohol brand.
I was with your friend last week, and we both looked at it, and the things I said is that anywhere in the world nowadays, when there's a secret, you can't keep a secret, and so no one released what the decision was going to be.
Yeah,
That's what,
shams.
but no, they didn't know. No one knew what it was going to be. So all of us, right, Shams. So I said, he ain't retiring. He's not on his last year because it would have leaked. So that, and the league office would have had something to do with it. So I think it was, I think he got us though pretty good. He
I
got.
mean, I tried to warn the people, but they didn't want to listen. But his co-star in LA, Luka Doncic, what is his rating on NBA 2K26, do you think?
Well, I would say just on his incredible ability at 97.
Well, I think he's a 95 because defensively his stats aren't very good. And that's something we're going to see now that he's in shape for this upcoming season. But we'll talk
Yeah.
about the Lakers in a sec. Jalen Brunson, where would you grade him?
Jalen Brunson should be a 93 to 95.
Hey, he's a 93. Jalen Brown.
He's a dog, man. He's so good. Jaylen Brown plays both ends. He should be at 95.
I agree, and every year I think Jaylen Brown is too low because he's a 90 this year. But I think
That's
with the Celtics having injuries and getting rid of a bunch of players, I think that's going to increase because the ratings do change as the season goes on.
he might go to 99 this year.
He
He's
might have to. He might have to for my sanity's sake. What about
yeah.
Donovan Mitchell?
He's something else, man. He's some player. Donovan Mitchell's a minimum 94.
Oh, he's a 93. How about the potential rookie of the year, Cooper Flagg? Because it's hard to rate a player before seeing him play in the NBA.
I know this kid so well since he was 3 years now. So I don't care. Just
What
no
do you think he'll
experience.
be by the end of the season is probably a better question.
I think he's a 92 to 95.
Well, he starts his career at 82, and I think within the first week that's going to change very, very quickly. Let's just do a couple more here.
Sure.
Ja Morant.
What's the lowest you can go?
The lowest you could be, it's probably a 60 for kind of a
Yeah.
two-way G League player.
Yeah. I mean, you can't rate him above an 82 because he hasn't played. He doesn't play. He's played 16 games last year, 19
Coach,
games with
there is a mode in NBA 2K26 where you can turn off injuries.
it.
And for Ja
He
Morant's
probably
sake,
ha
you can
he
also
probably
turn
has
off
that.
court
He probably
cases.
has that
So,
on, yeah.
he's a 91. You've got Trae Young, higher or lower than Ja
Great.
Morant.
Oh, he should be higher because he plays, but he's probably lower because he's not a, in my opinion, he's not in the 90s as a player.
Yeah, he's just touching 90. And the last one, this is an interesting one, Evan Mobley. His teammate Donovan
Oh.
Mitchell was a 93. Where have you got Mobley?
Evan Mobley, because he's a best defensive player, he should be up in the 95 area.
He's a 92. We got to see a little bit more offense from him this season. But those were some real good guesses, Coach. I think you're higher on a lot of these players because there
Because
has
I
to be
know,
some room for development.
because I'm an expert at basketball,
There's also
maybe.
that. There is also
Yeah.
that. But we talked about the best moves of the summer. And as a elite hater, I want to get into the worst moves of the summer.
Oh, geez. Okay.
And I'm going to make it fair because I'm going to start with my team, the Boston Celtics, who lost Jrue Holiday, Al Horford, Luke Kornet, and Kristaps Porzingis. That's four pieces of your championship core who have now walked out of that door with not much coming in to replace them. I know they got Anthony Simons, who could turn out to be promising, or they could flip him in a future trade. But they've, because of the salary cap and the second apron and the first apron, they've just had to shed the money because Jason Tatum is out with his Achilles injury. Even though, coach, have you seen the videos? He's dunking already just 4 months after an Achilles tear. He's running up and down the court. It's blowing my mind. Like, this guy is an NBA champion, Olympic medalist. He was on the cover of 2K last year. He's got his own sneaker. He's got an amazing wife. He's got everything in the world. And now apparently he's immune to injuries because 4 months after an Achilles tear, he's dunking. What can this guy not do?
He's one of my favorites in every aspect. I just want him to get healthy, as I do any player in the league. Ja Morant, anyone that's had injuries, you just want them to be healthy so they can show their talent. Yeah, it's sad because Brad Stevens is a good friend. There's salary cap genius up there. I'm telling you, they're a great organization, and it breaks your heart when you have to trade one of your favorite players in a Drew Holiday. You know, Al Horford's 40. You know, he was a cornet. You know, Porzingis, you know, but geez, you know, these are tough moves as a front office guy.
If you were in charge of the Boston Celtics, would you tell Jason Tatum that he's not playing at all this season? I know he wants to come back and he wants to play because he's a player who loves being out there on the court. But for the sake of not rushing back and not risking anything, would you tell him, nope, you're out for the whole year?
No, the doctors, the medical people will dictate that. And he's rehabbing to come back, so you never want to discourage that. No, when he's healthy and ready to go, he's ready to go.
Do you think, and just feed into my dream here, do you think there's a way in which Jason Tatum returns in March or April and the Celtics make a late run and a Cinderella story push through the playoffs back to the finals?
I don't think they'll be close.
You know,
I'll tell you what, I saw Toronto the other day. Toronto's good.
Yeah, Toronto's beat good. Us by 2 points.
Toronto's good. Toronto's good. But, you know, Detroit's good.
Miami.
I mean, no, I don't think Miami's good. I really don't.
I think Miami will be around the playoff position, though.
They might be. That's what I'm saying. But I don't.
I'm talking about the teams who will be ahead of the Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Knicks, New York's going to be elite. Cavs. I think Philly's not. I'm not sure Philly's going to be back because of their whole injury situation. But, you know, I think Indiana's going to take a huge drop.
Absolutely. Losing Tyrese Halliburton to his Achilles and Miles Turner to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
That's a big
and,
drop.
And they're having other injuries to their point guards now.
Yeah.
Preseason. So I think, you know, they could really drop off. So I think the East is in Orlando. I think the East is so wide open. We'll talk about that.
While
I know
we're next. In the East, let's talk about the Milwaukee Bucks because they waived and stretched Damian Lillard's contract, which is an almost unprecedented move to, you know, what they've basically done is they cut Dame from their team and their salary has now been added as dead cap space for the next remaining number of years until it's all paid off. It's 3 years. It was really surprising they did that. I know Dame was trying to get out of Milwaukee for a while. He wanted to be back with his family over in Portland. So they lost Dame Lillard, kind of their co-star to Giannis. They did sign Miles Turner, who is the perfect replacement for Brook Lopez, because BJ and I have been doing a show for 5 years, and every time we talked about Brook Lopez getting older, who could replace him, I'd always say Miles Turner, but I think he's going to be a Pacer for life. Turned out he's not a Pacer for life, and the Pacers front office weren't as interested in keeping him there as people may have thought. So, you know, their front court is pretty good in Miles Turner and Giannis, but their guard positions are looking a little weak. Kyle Kuzma being a starter on your team, I don't know how I feel about that. What do you think about the Bucks this season?
I think they're middle of the East at best, but Doc Rivers is a terrific coach. Darvin Ham is associate head coach. Fantastic
NBA
coaches.
Cup winners.
Yeah, fantastic guys. And so I trust those guys. They'll get the most out of them. And if Giannis can stay healthy, because when you're carrying such a load like he is, I think he's virtually unstoppable as a player. Mm. And a guy of that caliber, they can carry teams really far in the regular season. Playoffs, maybe not.
Yeah.
So I just think that, Doc could have them up in the top five or six. I would be happy with some people say top four.
I would be
I think
shocked if they're a top four team in the East.
I don't think they are.
Will you expect to see Giannis playing more of a playmaker role this year now? Because they're starting Kevin Porter Jr. at the point guard, who's not really one of those traditional point guard type players.
I think the thing I love about Giannis is he's a great player, and that great players play the game the right way, whether you're Larry Bird or Kevin Durant or LeBron. When someone's open, you give it to them. And I think that's what, and European players are the best at that. They understand the game. They're not selfish, in my opinion. They really play the game. And so I think you'll see him do whatever he has to. Giannis wants to win, and Giannis does win. So I think that's the way you'll see him play.
Well, I said I'm an elite hater, so it wouldn't be right to not bring up my number one most hated team in the world, the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, on paper, they had a good offseason. They extended Luka. They signed Marcus Smart, my favorite player. It's a heartbreak for me. They got Jake Laravia as well from the Kings, who's I think he's gonna be put on a lot of people's radar. I don't think they were paying attention to what he was doing beforehand. And they also got DeAndre Ayton, the number one pick in the same draft that Luka was drafted in. And if anyone can turn DeAndre Ayton into a good NBA player, it is that man, Luka Doncic, with that pick and roll combination, making it going. The reason why I have them on this list of the worst offseason moves is purely because of the expectation versus the reality. When you're the Lakers, your fans expect you to compete for a title. You've not got, I don't know how many years of LeBron you've got left, but this roster to me, they lost Dorian Finney-Smith. This roster to me isn't looking like a championship roster. Does it look like that to you?
No, not at all. No, I think we have in the US, we have some interesting, we have wonderful sports TV shows with analysts. And in our game of football
American football,
today,
NFL.
American football, NFL, the only team that's talked about during the week is the Dallas Cowboys.
America's team.
And they haven't been there for 25 years. And the Lakers are like that because they are clickbait. I mean, people love LeBron is an icon. Luka Doncic is a worldwide icon. I mean, and they're in this great city of Los Angeles. So I think that's why. But I don't think so. I don't think so. I think I think they're better. I think JJ Redick will be a better coach, and I
Oh,
don't
yeah.
mean that in any way. Just because he's now doing it all the time, and he has a year of expectations
Yeah.
of making some good moves and some bad moves. That happens. That's part of coaching. So I think he's going to be way better. But it always comes down to health. When you have LeBron, who's going to start to, for the first time in 23 years, not start the season playing,
Yeah, I
that's
saw that. He
concerned.
picked up a fascia injury around the same time he started playing golf, which I don't know if that's a
No,
coincidence.
sciatic,
Sciatica, sorry,
back
around the same
injury.
time he started playing golf, which involves a lot of back rotation. I don't know if he should put down the golf clubs and kind of wait till he retires for that. But the other team on my elite hater list of the worst moves of the summer, the Phoenix Suns, who had so many lofty expectations with their big three of Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker. They did extend Booker for 2 more years. However, they traded away Kevin Durant and they had to buy out Bradley Beal's behemoth of a contract. And they've gone from a team who, although I don't think we looked at them as title contenders, they looked at themselves as title contenders. So now they're in a kind of a weird spot where they've got some guys. I like their draft pick in Malawat, but they've got maybe Dillon Brooks is going to add some toughness. But in that Western Conference, I don't know what they'll be able to do. How are you looking at
Now,
the Phoenix Suns?
as similar, I think they, in a way, they've gotten their balance of their roster better, if you know what I mean. Like,
Yeah.
they got some role players in there. I think they, I don't agree with the trade they made with Charlotte to get the other center, who's been hurt and is still hurt.
Mark Williams.
Malowicz is a tremendous pick, tremendous pick. He should have been picked way earlier in the draft, but to get him where they were, fabulous pick. You have a brand new coach that's never been a head coach, he's never called a timeout in his life, Jordan Ott. You have a first-time GM, Brian Gregory.
It's interesting to me that Phoenix is a city who was so used to having one of the all-time great point guards in Steve Nash call Phoenix
Yes.
his home for a long stretch. Another year, they don't have a point guard. They're looking at starting a Devin Booker, Jalen Green backcourt.
Yeah, I mean that's crazy to me. And Steve Nash has now come aboard as an advisor. He should come aboard as a player, with the organization. Matt Ishbia is a great man, a good friend, and everything. But the thing is about the NBA with the salary cap and everything, you can't come in and buy your way to a championship, which is what Matt would have done gladly. He would have spent anything you asked him to win. He's a winner. He, believe it or not, that's what he's about. But you can't do that. I don't know what the Premier League and rules are,
You
but
can do that. Shout out
I
to
think you,
Manchester City. You can buy your way to a Premier League.
I think you can, right? There's no salary cap or transfer rules on players.
There is financial
But
fair
no,
play, but no one pays attention to it.
right. I mean, but so I
There's no
mean, you
hard
can do
cap like
that.
the NBA.
But the NBA now with that first and second apron, it's gonna change. You're going to see player salaries going down of veteran players.
Well, they've signed this new TV deal, though, so the salary cap should be going up.
Very minimally.
Interesting
Very,
revenue split.
yeah, very minimally.
That's going to be very interesting as the league continues to roll on.
Yeah.
We're just about a week away from the start of the NBA season. Coach, what are you most excited for this season?
Well, I always love to see when they come together, I love to see which teams can basically get their stuff together the quickest. Who comes hitting the floor? Because you can gain a great advantage. Last year, Cleveland hit the ground. I think they started like 16 and 0, I think, something
They started
crazy.
hot to the start of the season.
Yeah. So who can come in there and all of a sudden imprint themselves upon the league? And when you do that, all of a sudden, I expect New York to do that. I expect OKC to do it. Cleveland will be interesting because they have some injuries again. But I think, you're going to see the best teams you want to come and you want to start. So I want to see who's going to start fast. And I want to see the teams that people are given no hope to, see if any of those teams can emerge.
Absolutely. And it's refreshing for me because we've done this podcast for a number of years. And for the first 2, 3 weeks of the season, I would constantly hear, Mo, I can't talk about this team until they've played 25 games. So, coach, I appreciate your perspective on the start of the season. And I'm looking forward to doing the podcast with you all year long. So, if you guys are listening, please make sure you do subscribe, follow the Hoop Genius podcast. We're going to be bringing you episodes every Monday where we break down the league. And every Thursday, we've got some special guests. I'm not going to tell you who the special guest is for Thursday. I can give you some clues if you would like.
I like clues.
An elite dunker, currently on an NBA roster that will be competing for a championship, and a huge Premier League fan, which is something we discussed during the episode.
Wow.
So set your reminders for Thursday.
I wonder if anyone else in his family ever played basketball too, but that would be maybe an interesting thing to find out.
We're gonna have to wait and see, Coach. We're gonna have to wait and see. Appreciate you as always. If you guys want to hear more from Coach Brendan Sir, check out the Coaching You podcast that he also does with some interesting topics and guests that he has on there as well. And if you are a basketball coach listening to this, you can sign up to the Coaching You program, which is the best resource for any basketball coach at any level. It will change the way you look at the game and you will learn information from some of the best to ever do it. So check that out. Coach, I appreciate you. I look forward to seeing you next week for another episode. And I also do want to shout out the team behind the scenes, Rory and Bart. We've got the new graphics going on. We've got all this whole new look and feel to the show. Hopefully, if you're watching on YouTube, you like it. Let us know what you think in the comments. And as we always say on the show, until next time, get buckets.